came in peace for all mankind. Welcome back to NASA Vending Machine. I'm Dan Moore, and this is the show where we talk about For All Mankind, and where I am joined by my good friend, my fellow Mars freedom fighter, Jason Snow.
Mars is ours! Mars is ours!
Oh, hi, Dan. Sorry, I was chanting in the Zocalo.
Appreciate that I like that. I would, too, say Mars is ours, but
not
I feel
Mars
like a lot
is
of
ours.
Mars is ours. And I was like, it does rhyme. That's nice. Yeah. It's catchy. You want that.
Yeah.
We are here to discuss Season 5, Episode 5, Svoboda, which means freedom.
Mm.
I looked it up. I didn't know that off the top of my head, but it's a apt title, as so many of these are, for this episode, in which we hit the midway point of the season, and as is usual with For All Mankind stuff, things really start to hit the fan.
Things are popping off on Mars.
Yeah.
If you were wondering where it was going, what we're doing this season, here we go.
Yes. Also, shout out to For All Mankind for starting an episode with somebody in a car with a bag over their head.
Yeah. I did not expect that. I had a moment of being like, okay, who is this and where are we? I will say I do tend to watch these with the captions on because I want to get the dialogue. And so I did know who it was before they took the bag off because it said something about Irina makes a sound. I was like, oh, okay.
I see. Well, we all get the Siberia 2003. This is because she is taken away from Star City, right, at the end of season four. She's displeased those in power. And so here, having seen that flash that she's in a photo of the people who are coming to Mars, this is now explaining sort of like what happened to her. How is it that she is back in a position of power? And the answer is because you can't kill Irina. Like,
can't
she's
keep her down.
Just no, you can't.
Yeah. So yes, we start with her being locked up in a Siberian jail.
Yeah.
She has a rough time. She gets beaten up, basically threatened with forced confession.
Yep.
And is imprisoned in a truly disgusting prison cell.
We get the montage, which I thought really worked really well, of the many days of throwing bags around and then getting a bowl of slop slid under the door, which increasingly is slid harder so it spills more, which I thought was
it doesn't
funny.
Seem like it's not very good. It's really gross too, because she's like choking it
down. She's choking it down, and then she gets interrogated by the guy who just keeps beating her up and demanding
until
that she
confess
and that just keeps happening. And he knocks out her tooth, which
she knocks out her tooth,
she uses as a tapper for secret codes,
which it apparently ends up being a very useful way to get information, as she finally, after like, I think they say it's 19 months. Yeah, she decides, she's confessing, and the guard's like, so please, like, you held out a long time, longer than most people, but thank you for seeing the light. And all she does is basically threatens him because she knows who he is and where his family lives. And she basically is like, I've still got friends, and I will kill your family if you don't help me out.
And you'll
here.
Spend the rest of your life waiting for the knife in the dark. That is like,
Yes.
And then I think again, Irina, a very scary character, says, I believe I am rehabilitated.
Yep. that made me laugh. I wrote it down. I thought it was pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not, because he said this is not punishment. It's rehabilitation, says the guy before he punches her in the face. Amazing. Welcome back to the show, Irina. We thought you were done. This is a show where nobody is really done, it turns out, and they've got more to do with everybody's favorite KGB handler.
Yep. And that's going to be, she is in an interesting position by the end of this. We have the fallout of the data leak from the end of last week, where all the automation plans have come to light, and people on Mars are pretty upset. Our friend, the governor, Lenya, is kind of being squeezed from both sides. Nobody on Mars really likes him, and the rest of the Soviet Union's government is not happy with him because he is not keeping a lid on things.
Right.
So his ambitions are in jeopardy because he was seen as sort of this heir apparent, and now it's clear that they think that his handling of this has been poor.
Yeah.
So we have our protests continuing with the no robots on Mars, and all the peacekeepers have been brought out to kind of keep an eye on things. I enjoy there's an exchange with Alex and Lily are discussing whether they are going to be tracked down.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're fine. Yeah. I feel like we're fine. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. You think they're looking for us? Yeah. No. We're okay. We're good.
We're fine. They would have arrested us by now.
Yeah.
Boyd has been called back from sick leave.
Yeah.
In order to help out.
So much for her, you know, staring out the window time.
Yeah. And she is still talking to her partner Fred about these all the Lee investigation and the fact that she thinks that something weird's going on with Kerrigan and these surface shipments.
Like, there's a cover up here. I don't know what it is yet, but I know that there's going to be a cover up. She says this is the classic detective pulling on threads that are going to unravel and make everything bad.
Yep.
Right.
Like Fred's going to ask around. He knows somebody in Wreckers, but he's really trying to dissuade her from like
don't do this.
Rocking the boat.
Yeah.
There's also, this is the point where they notice there's a sign that says RoboCops are next.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, that's pretty good. Miles is going to have one of his illicit meetings with Palmer, the sheriff, who's trying to get him to like inform, essentially. And Palmer basically threatens him, saying he knows that Lily was the one who leaked the files because she works at the news agency. But what he's looking for is the person who gave her the files.
Yeah, and this is that great moment too. That okay, so look, we're being manipulated by this show, and it's fine. I think they do a good job. They make me feel angry at moments where I'm like, this is totally because the show wants to feel like there are two points of view, but they totally know what view you need to be taking.
One. Yes,
which I think is fine. I enjoy what they're doing here, but this is one of those moments which is like Palmer threatens Miles's daughter with 20 years in prison. She could share a cell with your good buddy Sam, he says, in fact, callback. And to which I say, you know, a person at a news agency who receives information and publishes it, at least in the United States...
They're
in the M6 zone or whatever.
There's First Amendment here, remember?
But what I'm saying is that this is not a crime. And if... the sheriff of Mars is going to say, oh, I'm going to put a journalist in prison for 20 years. I mean, I have questions about that because as I've said for the last couple of years on this show, one of the things I really love is the power dynamic where there are people who hold positions of power that are in a normal society backed by lots of stuff, except there's no stuff on Mars backing them. There's this moment of like, well, where are you going to send her? You're going to send her to Earth? Are they going to let her go to Earth in order to face prison? And it's a journalist for a news agency who's leaking this stuff. And you're going to, you sheriff, immediately say she's going to do 2 decades of hard time because... I mean, I would feel differently about the leaker, right? But the person who publishes the leaked information. And all I'm saying is these are really effective techniques to make me hate Palmer's guts and question whether he and his whole crew need to get... there's a moment later in this episode where I shouted at the TV and I wanted one of the characters to say it, which is like, you know, there are more of us than there are of you.
Yeah.
Right?
This is an interesting team, too, because Palmer and Miles have very different views that come out in this scene, right? Because Miles, you know, Miles is a character who lives a little bit in the gray area, right? We know he has a lot of allegiance to his family, obviously, and he has a lot of sympathies with the people doing the, you know, Mars Freedom. But he also is trying to essentially... play it safe to some degree. He's a
businessman. That's exactly it, right? So he wants stability,
right?
Not instability. Even if he's got sympathies with the rebels and he used to be more of a troublemaker, he kind of just wants things to be okay, which, I mean, there's a strong argument here that there is no way for this to be okay, that something is going to happen here.
His disagreement with Palmer here is where, like, he tells him, he's like, well, this is our home. Like, it's kind of screwed up what they're trying to do to us. And Palmer's like, nah, man, I don't live here. I work here. This is not my home. And I like his line where he's like, gravity does something to your brain, right? Like,
so this is what, again, what the show wants us to feel, which is the cops aren't the cops. They're colonizers. That's the difference, is that there are people who view Mars as where they are, and there are people who view it as they are the, I'll say what I said, I think, last week, which is they are an extension of an external power that is trying to subjugate the people on Mars. Or as I put it in my notes when Palmer was saying this, this guy is going to get killed by a mob.
Alita goes to confront Dev about the automation stuff, which she was in the dark about, and she's very upset because she's like, I can't run this because you keep undercutting me. And he's like, no, this is going to work for us. Like, we had to do it because it's going to happen one way or another. And this way we can use that and we can build my fancy space Mars city even faster. To which Alita has a great line. She says, F your Legoland. Which I really enjoyed. She is not really having it. But, like, you know, Dev has some practicality arguments here where I think he is right that it's like, look, this was going to happen one way or another with the way things are set up right now. Sooner or later, this was going to be an issue. And so he's coming at it from a very, I think, real politics standpoint where he's like, let me figure out how to make it work for me.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's Dev and he's playing fast and loose.
It is. I mean, he says it's inevitable. I think he's basically saying, look, they were going to do this, so I'm going to get on the other side of it. But that also means that he didn't fight it, which is that frustrating thing, right? Of like, are you kind of collaborating with these people who are doing this stupid thing that's actually against what you actually believe?
You say and you want, yeah.
But I do, the real politic is real, right? Which is, if all the governments of Earth are united, or the M6 anyway, that they're going to do this... And his company's already suffered, right? Because they gave Kerrigan the space elevator. If he is he's got to kind of go along to get along a little bit with the M6. At least I think he feels that. So he's always playing the game of like, almost like a judo move or something, where it's like, I'm going to use their weight, but I'm going to use it against them. Like, I'm going to go with them. I'm going to move with them, but I know where I'm going, and it's not where they think I'm going. But yeah, from another standpoint, it's just Dev, you know, caving in on this thing that people think is important because he doesn't think it's important because he's looking at the other side of it.
Right. I mean, it's a convenient glossing over the fact that they're like, we're going to ship everybody back from Mars. And it's like, who's going to live in your fancy city, Dev, if they ship everybody back from Mars before you're finished building it, right? Like,
well, and so, again, who's going to force these people to go into the ships? I keep coming back to that, especially when we know that ISN is like right across the way as well. It's like, and when all the people go back, is there just a skeleton crew? Is ISN not just going to come right back and take it over and get rid of your skeleton crew? Like, short of sending, an army battalion or something to Mars, which also is really impractical, and making it literally just a military base, I just don't see... It's really that dynamic, I think, is just fascinating all the way around.
The Kerrigan delegation arrives, and believe this is also, is it this where we learn that our governor was at Star City and knows Irina.
I know Irina. Yeah, his wife is like, she's KGB. Once you're KGB, you never leave the KGB. And he's like, I know, I was at Star City, I know her deal, but like, in this episode, Irina, because we got that opening with her, like, she doesn't do a lot. She does a lot of glowering and like looking at him, and like, it's great because we all know just how dangerous she is. And I find her the most terrifying when she's just watching and not doing anything, because you're like, oh God, what is she thinking up? What is she going to do? But even when she just doesn't do anything, you're like, no. Why is she here?
It's, what's she plotting? She's planning. And she does. They have a big meeting as they talk about the elephant in the room.
Grumpy meeting.
And Irina wants to question all the Helios employees, to which Alita's like, what are you talking about? No, which is the correct answer, because she's just some lady who works for your
rival.
Corporate rival. Like, of course not. And this is where Dev comes out and says he knows who took the files. Which, of course, we lead to a scene with Alex coming back to work and sees that they are basically taking in his boss, Ms. Joshi. They're taking her badge. They're, like, you know, gathered around looking at her computer. And, of course, Dev comes in and is like, let's talk. And he knows, he confronts Alex with it. Alex does what I think is a great moment. He says, "Dev, I had no choice." And I wrote down, that's a Dev line. Right?
Yeah.
Like, Alex has out-Dev'd Dev here in just being like, look, I mean, I had no choice. You're doing the wrong thing. And I like this whole scene is, I think, great. Especially, it's really shot well. Like, they're framed in the window with, there's like a crossbar between them. So they're physically divided as they're on like these opposite sides. And Alex kind of gives him, you know, a talking to. He's like, you live up here in a mountain. Like, you don't care what anybody's doing. You're like a weird, like, you know, shut in. A billionaire, and you are totally out of touch happening to the rest of us.
You only ever think about yourself, which is not wrong. And he's like, well, automation leads tomorrow, right? Again, Dev, this is Dev thinking big picture while everybody else is thinking immediate. Like, Dev's like, well, in the end, I get what I want. And it's like, yeah, but we're going to be ground into the dust while you wait for the thing that will lead to what you want. And or as Alex says, like, you want to create like a magic city for a chosen few while we're all mistreated and sent home or whatever. And it's very much like, I was thinking of the, what is it? Annie Hall. He says, Marshall McLuhan appears and says, you know nothing of my work. This is like, Alex is like, you know nothing of Ed Baldwin's work.
Right,
quit.
Right, yeah.
Like, nothing, you don't get it.
This is like, you don't want to get what my grandfather wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
So he quits. Miles, meanwhile, is tries to break into Lily's laptop. My note says, never a good idea to violate your kid's trust like that. And of course, she catches him immediately.
Of course.
And she's annoyed, which, again, fair. He's like, I'm trying to protect you. I don't want you to go to jail. And that's going to cause some tension.
Mm-hmm.
We see Boyd out. She sees, like, there's this graffiti with, like, the fist and holding a wrench.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, starting to become sort of the symbol of the movement. And she realizes somebody's going out on the service and then goes to talk to the guy who runs the spacesuits and essentially says, like, hey, I want to look at your logs. And she pretends like that she hasn't gotten her pay for doing one of these stints.
She
and
talks a bit to it. It's kind of
sob
nice,
story.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Talks her way in, gets to look at the logs and sees a bunch of people we know, including, of course, Fred.
Yeah.
Which I think as soon as she started flipping through those pictures, I was like, it's going to be Fred.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Kelly is talking to Alex via video link because they're still close enough for real time. And she notices he's distracted and just starts narrating him the plot of Empire Strikes Back,
enjoyed. And we got, you know, we went into this asteroid, but there was like a worm and there were Minox in there. And he's like, what now?
Yeah. And so they have a little like talk sort of about essentially the events of last season where Kelly's like, you were a kid. I don't know if you really remember
what
happened, but it was really not great.
Be careful.
And then at the end, he says, stay out of Cloud City. I heard Lando's up to something, which I enjoyed.
Yep, very cute.
Irina visits the mission control.
Yeah, which is MOCC, Moxie.
Moxie. It's got Moxie. And she talks to Elaida a bit, and then they have a veiled conversation about Margot.
Yeah.
Where Irina asks how she's doing. And Elaida says, you mean how is she doing in prison? She's just peachy.
Yeah, so good.
So there's a little bit of tension there, unsurprisingly. Mm-hmm. The governor's wife is leaving, I guess, to go back to Earth.
I guess.
They said, I think he said something about, like, you know, give the kids like a hug for me, essentially.
Yeah.
We kind of get the idea that he's going to be a little unmoored without her there. They're kind of like this. You know, it's the Macbeths, right? They're a little bit of a power couple. Yep. And when she goes away, he's going to struggle a little bit, which he immediately tries to do a meet and greet with all the protesters. And it doesn't go well.
What did he think was going to happen walking into the Zocalo with all the graffiti and the protest? And he's like, hey, I'll shake your hands. Like he's some kind of politician who's just meeting
running
and greeting.
Office. Yeah.
I just.
Tone deaf. It's just a terrible, terrible attempt. Because he gets to talk to one guy. He's like, where are you from? And he's like, Nigeria. He's like, oh, you got a great soccer team. Where are you from? I'm from Mars. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, that
awkward.
Conversation's over.
Yeah.
He tries to get Alex on side. And Alex is like, nope.
No way.
I'm not engaging. And then that didn't work. So instead, he's going to have a curfew and have Palmer arrest anybody who violates it, which Palmer is 100% on board with.
Yeah, this is very much a you know, arena is like you must show strength here.
Strength, yes.
And it's like, okay, yeah. So this is the classic, and again, the show knows it. We know it. This is the classic overreact, which is the solution to people not liking you is to outlaw their movements and push them out of public spaces. That always goes great.
Yeah, exactly. Let's have the cops start moving.
Yeah,
people.
Yeah. That'll work. That'll work great. Authoritarian cops, playbook. I mean, Soviet governor. Yeah. Why are we surprised? I guess.
Yeah, it's still such a weird dynamic to have. Like, I guess because he's, you know, the M6 is a quasi governmental sort of agency, but he also feels like he's, because he's angling for Soviet,
yeah,
like higher up leadership, it's all kind of entangled here, which is, yes, a weird and kind of, it, like, I think a good mimic of the fact that it's when these organizations and institutions have to be built from the ground up, like, you get weird kind of overlaps in places like this because there isn't really a good organization that is designed to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have a new place, and like it's managed by this group of countries, so we, right, have to pick who is going to run it, and it's going to be this guy who has political ambitions back in his home country.
Yeah.
So he's got sort of these different agendas, and he's, mm-hmm, got a different way of doing things, but he's got a peacekeeping force that's made up of other people. Anyways, there's a lot going on.
Yeah,
here.
It's a mess. And also, it reports to the M6 nations, not to the people who are on the planet, right? They're essentially,
exactly,
being treated as, you know, they're occupants of this, but they're not citizens or anything like that. They're not, that's not,
they're
what
not even
the deal
employees
is.
Necessarily.
Not
some
necessarily.
Of them are employees of companies, but some of them work for themselves. Like,
yeah.
It's very messy.
Yep.
Before all the peacekeepers all get deployed, Boyd confronts Fred and basically says, I found that you were part of this. And he's like, look, I was trying to protect you. I told you should back off, and like, you don't talk to this crater and don't do that. And she's like, whoa, I never told, yeah, you about that. And we're like, at that point, the other penny drops.
Yeah.
And we discover that Fred was the one who hit her over the head.
Yeah.
And if that's not enough, Fred is the one who killed Yoon.
Yes. Yes. He said, I didn't mean to. It was an accident. But why? Because he was threatening to go public with the automation story.
Yep.
And that's why they were supposed to intimidate him and beat him up, but they ended up killing him. Was, yep, did he not mean to? Who knows? But it doesn't matter. And then they
the
essentially framed Lee for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. They framed, so he knew, they said, like, they drove him out in a rover and they were supposed to just scare him, but it goes,
yeah,
goes wrong. Wow, stuff never like that never goes wrong.
Mm.
And of course, Boyd's like, well, I'm gonna have to go to Palmer. And Fred says, who do you think like signed off on,
yeah,
all of this?
Yeah.
It's like,
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. They finish gearing up the troops. There's a great bit here where Palmer's put on his helmet and he just hands the guy next to him his hat, which I thought was very weird.
Hmm.
He takes off his little ball cap and is, yeah, like, here, hold this for me.
Hold my hat.
And puts on his helmet.
Yep.
And of course, they go out and start clearing the streets in their riot gear. And as my notes say, unsurprisingly, it goes bad real quick.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of these parts where, despite the fact that this was filmed a long time ago, right? This show has, yeah, been kind of, you know, I'm sure they did production
year.
At least, but like it's been a few years since the last season, so it's been at least a year. But this is one of those moments where you have stuff that really resonates,
mm-hmm,
with the events that have happened in the meantime, because,
mm-hmm,
we see a bunch of people in riot gear clearing people out, and then basically getting increasingly like, we're gonna bring out the truncheons, we're gonna bring out the flashbangs, you know, somebody gets shot. Right.
Yeah. And I'm unclear if that's like, maybe they got non-lethal, but, you know, that stuff is still incredibly damaging to people. But yeah, they start shooting.
Yeah. And the protesters get weapons.
Yeah. Alex,
they shoot
down
a vending machine at one point.
Yeah.
Jason.
No, they break into the automat, which, yeah, that's like not good. Yeah. Alex goes down. Lily goes down and there's some blood. Miles is enraged because he sees Lily being hurt.
So he tackles a guy and beats the crap out of him.
Yeah, and then the protesters, of course, because this is the thing about how there are more of them than there are of you, they take some of the weapons.
Yep.
So it's all going off, which leads to our climactic final scene, which is saying to Polibanov, we gotta go.
Yeah.
They're coming our way. To the Moxie.
Yep. Mm. And he's not going to back down. Mm. Or is he?
Hmm. Didn't know. How'd that go for everybody? How'd that sending in the troops thing go? Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the powder keg has officially been lit at this point. Yeah. I mean, again, I think this show does a great job of always carefully, you know, the bit where you see in like old movies where they're laying down like the trail of gunpowder to the explosives.
Mm-hmm.
This show is so good at being like, we're slowly going to empty this long trail of gunpowder. And then about halfway through the season, we're going to drop a match on it and you're going to watch it go zip. And I think that's very much the point where we are at this, which is like, this is going to be the central question and plot thrust of this season is, does Mars get to determine its own fate? Because that was kind of what they set it up, right, with the stealing the asteroid last season. Like, they're going to have the economic resources. But what it didn't give them was the right of self-government and self-determination and being able to essentially say, we are citizens of Mars. And this is the implication of that sort of halfway effort, right? Is like, okay, you control all the iridium, but you still don't have any rights. And even though you might have some leverage, you don't necessarily have power.
Right.
Yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And what happens? What happens, I guess we'll find out next week, right? They'll solve it all.
I guess we'll find. Yeah. And then, yeah, I don't know, the last four episodes, dance party?
Mm. Sure. Sounds
something
good.
Something like that.
I like it. Dance party on Titan. Something like that.
On Titan. Well, there's life. They meet some aliens. They have some dancing.
It's cool.
All right. Well, I guess we'll find out what happens
mm-hmm.
next week.
I hope so.
Yeah, I don't know. I get the feeling that you know, some eggs are going to get broken, and maybe some people are not going to be okay.
Yeah, I think that's probably good. Well, what a way to reach the halfway point of this season, I think.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Well, we'll be back next week to cover episode 6 of For All Mankind season 5. And until then, dos vidanya, Jason.
Dos vidanya, comrade.